Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Brian Cameron to the broadcast. Brian is Professor of Practice and Director of the Enterprise Architecture Initiative in the College of Information Sciences and Technology at the Pennsylvania State University. Within the College of Information Sciences and Technology, he works with a wide portfolio of companies on a variety of consulting engagements, ranging from systems integration projects to enterprise architecture planning and design. The main focus areas of his teaching efforts are on senior-level capstone enterprise integration, enterprise architecture, and information technology consulting and storage architecture courses. Brian is currently developing new curricular materials for enterprise integration through funding from NSF, including a textbook to be published by Wiley Press. He has also designed and taught executive education sessions for senior IT executives. Session topics include service-oriented architecture, business process management, strategic alignment of IT and business strategies, IT governance, and IT portfolio management. Brian has a PhD and MBA in finance and MIS from Penn State and a BS in computer science. His primary research and consulting interests include enterprise architecture, enterprise systems integration, information management and storage, and the use of simulations and gaming in education. I recently spoke with Brian in his office in University Park, Pennsylvania, and our conversation focused on World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we spoke about Brian's role in educating the IT leaders of tomorrow, Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed Brian's focus on enterprise architecture, as well as some other topics. Brian Cameron, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, let's begin at the beginning. If you could tell us a bit about the Information Sciences and Technology Department at Penn State, its charter, your role within that organization and so forth.
Sure. I'm a faculty member in the College of Information Sciences and Technology at Penn State. The College of IST is a relatively new entity at Penn State. It was started in 1999 by the state of Pennsylvania in conjunction with a corporate advisory group to produce what we feel is the modern IT professional, somebody with a good foundation in a variety of areas of technology, a good foundation in business, and a very interdisciplinary education. Our college is unique nationally as well. We're not part of a traditionally siloed academic college. So we're not part of the College of Business. We're not part of engineering or computer science. We're our own standalone college.
I see.
And within our college, we have computer scientists. We have folks from business schools. We have sociologists. We have psychologists. We have attorneys and a variety of other disciplines within our college. So I think we're uniquely positioned to do innovative, interdisciplinary topics and projects that your traditionally siloed academic institutions would have a more difficult time implementing.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. May I ask you, is it a combination of undergrads, grad students?
Sure. Yes, we have an undergraduate program. We also have a master's program, a new professional master's program as well, which will be primarily online, mm-hmm. as well as a PhD program.
I see. Very good. Well, and I know that you have a special focus on enterprise architecture. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the rationale behind that. Why EA?
Sure. One of our historic areas of focus and one of our unique value propositions in the marketplace has been in the area of enterprise integration. Mm-hmm. We have, at least to my knowledge, the only undergraduate degree program in enterprise integration in the country. Mm-hmm. And this program has resonated extremely well with our corporate and government constituents. Our integration students have one of the highest starting salaries on campus, the highest placement rates, and it's just been a big hit with our corporate and government partners.
That's right.
And at the undergraduate level, our integration curriculum is probably the closest thing you're going to find anywhere to any curriculum that's even remotely related to enterprise architecture. Mm-hmm. A number of our faculty have prior, such as myself, have prior industry experience in enterprise systems and in EA-related roles. I personally am involved in a number of EA industry associations. And over the last few years, in particular, I've seen a lot of growth in the EA discipline. Seen a lot of coalescence, if you will, Many organizations are formalizing career paths for different types of enterprise architects. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing more and more about the need for more formal academic programs in enterprise architecture. There are none at the undergraduate level. And at least in the United States, I'll say there's very little, if anything, at the master's level. You'll see a few courses here and there. And in my opinion, what I do see currently on the marketplace, more often than not, comes from traditional computer science programs and is oftentimes repackaged computer science. So not EA in the true broad sense, where you have good representation from the business side of the equation as well as the technology side of the equation.
I see.
So I think there's a lot of opportunity in the master space as well.
That's great.
So to make a very long story short, about 7 months ago, I formulated a business case, all the dots that I've been connecting in the marketplace, and the opportunity that I see for a college like ours in the enterprise architecture space. And I started on my validation phase, if you will. And a large part of the validation phase was the formation of a corporate and government advisory board on enterprise architecture. So asking not only will leaders from organizations at this point across the globe come together to work with us in several areas, but from our corporate partners, we're also asking for a $15,000 one-time donation to give us part of the startup resources needed to do all of the initiatives that we're planning.
Okay.
And I started, as you might expect, with the corporations that we knew and had worked with, and quickly this took on a life of its own. I got referrals from people that had committed to the group and referrals from referrals to the point where now, 7-8 months later, we have over 100 individuals, 62 organizations, and representatives from 7 countries. So it's truly remarkable.
That's really great.
There are 4 primary areas that we have this large group broken into 4 committees and 4 primary areas that we're investigating at this point. The first committee is the Undergraduate Education Committee. This committee will help us define the competencies that we should be building in a 4-year undergraduate degree program.
Okay.
Second committee on master's level education. Similar questions for this committee. What competencies should we be building in an enterprise architecture professional master's program? Third committee on professional development. So what type of non-credit, so when we say non-credit, we mean not for undergraduate or graduate credit. What type of non-credit professional development offerings and partnerships might make sense for a university like Penn State and the EA area? We have a couple things we do now at the executive level and a few certificate level offerings, but what type of future offerings make sense? Where are the holes in the marketplace, and where does it make sense for a university like Penn State to play in that area? Then the fourth committee is on research. This is quickly evolving into a research center within our college. So questions around, what research agendas, research streams should we be enhancing and developing? Questions around the structure of the research center. Oftentimes you see centers and institutes in academia that are founded with somewhat arbitrary participation models, and many of them don't work that well. So we want to work with the marketplace and come up with a model of participation that's innovative and works well for our constituent groups. So we're at the early phase of trying to figure out what this center might look like.
That's really fantastic.
We had our first meeting of this group about a month ago at University Park. We had over 75% of our participants or of our people in our group attend the meeting, which was fabulous. We had people come from as far away as India. We had a wonderful 2-day meeting. We got our discussions kicked off in these 4 areas, and then we will be working and are working now within the committees virtually. So we have a collaboration suite of tools set up for this group, and we'll be continuing the discussions and the agendas for the different committees online throughout the year. And we plan to meet physically at University Park once a year and then have virtual meetings throughout the year.
As you point out, Brian, obviously it's very early. You've just convened your first meeting, and some of the early discussions are just beginning to percolate. But I wonder if you can share some of what you're hearing, some of the output from those meetings. Do you see any consensus on how EA is being thought of, or how it's being organized or governed within organizations, as well as how do they kind of how are they seeing some of the answers to the questions that you're putting to the four different categories you mentioned?
I think right now there are more questions than answers.
I see. Fair enough.
I've heard from many, many people that we're proposing these initiatives at the right time. And I think the group as a whole, and I think that's evident with the response that we have received, that this is the right time to begin EA education and research initiatives.
Okay.
As I'm sure you know, there's a lot of different camps and perspectives in enterprise architecture, and we brought them all together in some cases for the first time. So there's a lot of, as with any emerging discipline, emerging career field, there's a lot of differing perspectives out there right now. So we're hoping to be the Switzerland in the middle of these perspectives. And that's one thing, incidentally, that we worked very hard during the meeting. We didn't want the discussions to break down into a debate on whose methodology, framework, perspective was correct, and whose, and as happens in many many EA conferences.
Yes.
So we're trying to be a level or two above these discussions and talk about the competencies that are needed, regardless of the definition, the framework, the methodology that your organization subscribes to. And we worked very hard to keep the discussion at that level, and it was a very productive and respectful discussion. It was one of the better discussions I've seen at EA venues such as this.
That's really great. Did you see an uptick in interest, perhaps even from the organizations in terms of recruiting from your school and recruiting the students that you're educating?
Yes. What was very validating for me, over half of the people in this group had no prior relationship to Penn State. Over half of them had never been on campus before. To me, that really pointed to the need for what we were doing. The organizations that currently recruit and hire your students and already love your program, they were the easy ones to get on board, so to speak. But the folks that are here just for the idea, and we've had a number of new organizations initiate recruiting relationships with our college, and the programs are still a year and a half or more out. We're just in the planning stages now. So I think our students are going to be very much in demand. Also, the career field in general, well, it fits well with our current focus on enterprise integration. It's kind of a natural evolution for us in many ways.
Yes.
And the integration and architecture roles are roles that are difficult, extremely difficult to outsource. They tend to be more strategic in nature. So I think it's a good position for our students for the future. And I think it'll be a unique value proposition and one that will serve our students well.
That's great. Do you see, I'm getting into some of your own opinions on these things, in terms of how organizations should best think of and use enterprise architecture. As you point out, of course, there's no one winning formula to do so. But do you see a common denominator in terms of, size of company, complexity of the IT portfolio or infrastructure that should lead an organization to think about, establishing EA and how best to kind of go about that?
I think it's something that you normally think of with larger and more complex organizations, though I am hearing from more and more mid-sized organizations that they're looking at implementing some type of EA program.
Is that right?
To fully answer your question, if you can check back with me in about a year, one of the research questions that has come out of all of this is to take a look at just what you've mentioned. What type of organizations are implementing EA, and how are they implementing it? We hear a lot of talk about hybrid approaches, that nobody
Yes.
uses a particular framework or methodology from start to finish. But there's been absolutely nothing done on what do these hybrid approaches look like? What pieces are they taking from some of the popular methodologies and frameworks? Are there any trends across industries, size of organization, et cetera? That's something we plan to hopefully fund and tackle over the next year, year and a half.
That's great. That's really great. Well, we'll certainly look forward to tracking the progress there. Let's take a step back to where you began in talking about the school itself and the people that make up your student body. As an educator of the future leaders of information technology, I wonder what sort of career path do you foresee for the students once they leave Penn State? And also, if I may, how does it differ from years past? You mentioned quite appropriately that typically IT especially junior people within the IT workforce often have engineering degrees, major in things like computer science, and this is clearly a departure in some ways from that. And you mentioned that you're educating lawyers, sociologists, as well as people that have more traditional technology backgrounds. Can you talk a little bit about what the differences mean in terms of where these people are likely to end up and how their career path is likely to take shape?
Sure. I'll talk about our current student body in enterprise integration, which I think will be related to what happens in enterprise architecture. And then I'd like to also talk about some of the feedback we've gotten from our different corporate and government partners on how they might plug these EA students into their organizations and where they might go.
Great.
Our current students work for a variety of organizations, a lot of consulting firms, as you might expect. All of the major consulting firms recruit here because of the well-rounded nature of our student, and you know, they're very pliable, and our curriculum is very real-world focused as well. We work with a lot of corporations in our curriculum. Our students do a lot of quasi-consulting team projects in many of our senior-level courses. So they're, at least from what we're hearing from our constituents, they're ready to hit the ground running more so than what they're seeing from other institutions that might have more traditional MIS, IT, computer science programs.
That's great.
Our students, in some ways, can almost craft their own curriculum. We have our core curriculum, but they can take many different minors. I had one student, for example, just last year, took a minor in music, and now he's working for Sony Records.
Oh, wow.
He was able to combine his passion with music with his interest in enterprise technology, and now he's doing well with Sony. We have, as you mentioned, we have some that go to law school and practice cyber law, technology law. We have a new security major as well. It's part of our college, so we'll have many students that work in security-related functions.
That's great.
They have so many career trajectories. Technology is so pervasive today in most career fields, and there's a need for the well-rounded person that's not just the coder in the corner, and that person can be anywhere in the world today, but somebody that understands technology and understands how to apply enterprise technology and solutions to a particular context or industry or career field and understands the business side of the equation as well.
Yes.
And those type of people are more and more in demand, but hard to find. There aren't that many undergraduate programs that are producing students with this well-rounded background.
That's great. And given that fact, I'd imagine that you will soon see some imitators out there. Is there any intention of partnering with other universities to help them bring about similar curricula?
Oh, surely. Yes. In my opinion, the only way that enterprise architecture is going to be mainstream in academia is if we have just that collaborations between universities, other curriculums that arise over time. Otherwise, you know, it'll just be a kind of a fringe program that we and maybe a few others do. I'd like to see it become as mainstream as the more traditional disciplines over time. So we fully intend to partner with other academic institutions in the U.S. and around the world and have started discussions to that end. I think that probably the first place to plug in the collaborations is through our Emerging Research Center and do some research collaborations and then talk about curricular sharing collaborations, what have you, but we very much would like to do that.
That's great.
Now, one thing that I didn't mention was some of the feedback we've gotten from our corporate and government partners about where to plug EA students in. Because oftentimes, when I first started down this path, and I still get this occasionally, when you mention enterprise architecture and undergraduates in the same sentence to somebody, some people get it, but others will say, oh, you know, enterprise architecture, you need 15 plus years experience. These are very senior roles in our organization. There's no way you can create an EA professional in a four-year undergraduate degree program. And our response is we're not proposing to do that at all. Our undergraduate program is probably more akin in concept to maybe a pre-med program, where we give them a solid foundation in business, solid foundation in enterprise technology, a good foundation in enterprise architecture, principles, frameworks, methodologies, good experiential components, mandatory internships, and other experiential components. And when I explain it that way, and then I say, can you use that type of student? If we don't put the EA banner over this, if we call it whatever, call it X, could you use that student? And they say, oh, yeah, without question. You know, and there's so many places we could plug this student, et cetera.
Right.
But once we put the term enterprise architecture with undergraduates, that's where some people have have the problem. However, when we ask for what's a viable alternative to enterprise architecture for a title of the program, that's where things typically go quiet, or we get a whole hodgepodge of interesting, interesting in quotes,
right.
Suggestions. So, but I think once the explanation's out there, and now another thing we intend to do with our undergraduate program is have areas of drill down or specialty, and we're in the process of defining these drill down areas. So maybe a three-course drill down or minor in security, in data informatics and management, in advanced networking topics and storage networking, on down the line. So a student could take multiple drill down areas, and then what we're hearing from our corporate and government partners, these drill down areas would give them some place to initially plug these people in their organization. And they would have them on some type of fast path for leadership development because of their background and career goals, but initially they need a kind of a starting point. Entry-level positions are typically maybe a bit more skills-based. So where do we plug these people? In software development and security and databases and data management, so that we give them some place to plug them with an eye on growing them into these people with this enterprise architecture and enterprise perspective and roles at some point in the future.
That's great. Well, it sounds like quite an ambitious agenda you have there, but it sounds like you're well on your way to something very special there. So, Brian Cameron, I really appreciate you taking a little time to speak with us today on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation.
Sure, I'm happy to do it. Thank you, Peter. If any organization listening to the podcast would like more information on our initiatives or would like to participate in our corporate and government advisory group, please contact me at bcameron, B-C-A-M-E-R-O-N, at ist.psu.edu. bcameron at ist.psu.edu. Thank you.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If, however, systems and hardware work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development to quality assurance through to support and all of the other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.